Special guest speaker today in Torah study. You'll want to stick around to have lunch with us and join us for Torah study. We have a outside of our usual three rotation people. We have a which is Gail and Maureen and Aaron. We have a guest this week, so you'll want to stick around this afternoon for that. Okay, I am particularly struck in this week's Haftorah portion. It is 1 Kings chapter 7, beginning with verse 14. 1 Kings chapter 7, or beginning with verse 13. It says, King Solomon sent to Tyre and brought Hiram, whose mother was a widow from the tribe of Naphtali, and whose father was a man of Tyre, a craftsman in bronze. Hiram was highly skilled and experienced in all kinds of bronze work. I figure so, because his dad was evidently a metallurgist. Son follows along in father's footsteps, it seems. Except it says that the son is highly skilled, at least in this translation. It's interesting to see the life of the father in the life of the son, and even growing in that regard. He came to King Solomon, and he did all the work assigned to him. And the rest of the Haftorah portion, the bulk of it, speaks actually of the two pillars that was built outside of the Temple of Solomon. We learned in our Torah summary that the temple was built 440 years after B'nai Israel entered into the land. And so finally the temple is erected. There are two pillars that are built outside the temple, out on the porch, you might say. It goes into extreme detail about these pillars. The pillars are 18 cubits high, which some scholars take a cubit to be about 18 inches. So that would be a pretty high pillar. And then the capital on top of the pillar is another 5 cubits. So call that another 7 feet. And on this capital, on the pillar, is carved into the bronze is depictions of lilies and flowers all around the capital. And then under the wreath of lilies is a relief of 200 pomegranates. It's not the first time we've seen pomegranates in the worship of the Mishkan or the temple. They were also found around the hem of the priest's garments, if you recall. We had an interesting discussion about that in Torah study last week or the week before. It is interesting to note the rich detail that is given for these pillars and these capitals. Actually, these pillars do not support anything. They're not part of the architecture. They're not supporting the roof of the porch. They're not supporting a beam for the roof of the temple. They are freestanding pillars that are there just because. They're even given names. Have you ever named your car, your house? One actress says, "Oh, I just want to go home to Tara." If you watch the Jane Austen movies, the homes always have names. And I should have done a Google search and had some of them ready for you. But Solomon names these two pillars, Jochin and Boaz. Two wonderful names, actually. The name of the first is He Establishes. And the name of the second means In His Strength. Strength and stability is the name of these pillars out in front of the temple. I think it's wonderful. To me, it reinforces the presentation of God's word there in the worship of the temple. It reinforces what goes on there as Israel gathers to bring honor and thanksgiving and blessing to the Most High. To me, it's interesting that in the beginning of the Haftorah portion, back up in verse 13 or 14, it says that Hiram, this Jewish young man who was actually living in Tyre, it's interesting, even in the days of Solomon, there were Jews that were spread out in other countries. Do you catch that? That only grows more and more over the successive centuries, over the successive millennia. Jews spread in different places. But here, living in the area of Tyre or Sidon, is a Jewish young man, and he is brought to be the chief architect, the chief craftsman and artisan for the temple. And in this regard, he is very, very similar to the role of Bezalel in this week's Torah portion. Back in Exodus chapter 35, verse 30, it's in this week's portion that Gail outlined for us. It says, verse 30, "Then Moses said to the B'nai Israel, 'See, the Lord has chosen Bezalel, son of Uri, the son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah, and he has filled him with Ruach HaElohim, the Spirit of God, with skill and ability and knowledge in all kinds of crafts, to make artistic designs for work in gold and silver and bronze, to cut stones, to carve wood, and all kinds of artistic ability. He has given him and his sidekick." There's always sidekicks in Scripture. Everyone has a sidekick. Even Moses. Moses' sidekick was Joshua, that was there on Mount Sinai with him. Bezalel's sidekick is a guy named Oholiab from the tribe of Dan. And God gave them the ability to teach and give direction to others. He has filled them with the skill to do all kinds of work as craftsmen, designers, embroiderers in blue, purple, and scarlet yarn and fine linen and weavers, all of them master craftsmen and designers. So Bezalel, Oholiab, and every skilled person, the Hebrew literally says every wise-hearted person, every person who has wisdom in their hearts, to whom the Lord has given skill, ability to know how to carry out the work of constructing the sanctuary, are to do the work just as the Lord has commanded. And so Moses summons Bezalel, Oholiab, and all those skilled-hearted ones, and they come and they begin the work. However, in the next three chapters, over and over, it says, "And Bezalel made the ark of acacia wood, and he made the table of acacia wood, and he made the lampstand, and he made the altar of incense." This particular translation fuzzies that out a little bit by making it plural. They made, and they made. But the Hebrew keeps reinforcing the role, the strength, the wisdom that God gave Bezalel to serve in the Mishkan. We're told that some interesting things in Jewish tradition We're told that that Bezalel was actually a young man, perhaps a teenager. We're even given his age in Scripture. The text says that he was the grandson of Hor. Remember, this guy has shown up in the story before. He was one of the guys that stood on the mountain with Moses and held up Moses' arms while Israel fought the Amalekites just after they came out of Israel. Hor is never mentioned again in the Torah. And so Jewish tradition tells the story that when the people built the golden calf, Hor rose up and to condemn what was going on, and so they killed him. Maybe, I don't know. But in that case, if that is the case, Bezalel is continuing a spiritual legacy that came from his grandfather. Jewish tradition also stated that Hur was the husband of Miriam. And if that's the case, Bezalel would have been Moses' great nephew. We're told that God filled him with Ruach Elohim, the Spirit of God. This is the very first time ever in Scripture that anyone is ever filled with God's Spirit. It's going to become a consistent theme running through the rest of Scripture. Being filled with the Spirit of God for a task and a purpose and a calling. Bezalel was the first. Filled with God's Spirit. And he was also given Chokhmah, Da'at, and Bina. Wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. It's interesting that in this week's Haftorah portion, Hiram, the man who was in charge of, he was Solomon's Bezalel. Hiram, by the way, was, as Gail pointed out, filled with the exact same qualities. Wisdom, understanding, and knowledge. In that case, in 1 Kings chapter 7, it's very interesting that there the three Hebrew words are prefixed by the definite article, the. For instance, ha-chokmah, or ha-da'at, the wisdom, the knowledge, the understanding. To the point that with the definite article, the, emphasizing the richness of these. It's not just wisdom, any wisdom, understanding, and knowledge. It's the precise wisdom. It led one Jewish commentator, Rabbi Hirsch, to translate that verse that Hiram was filled richly. He was richly gifted in art, imagination, and skill. Richly gifted. I love the way he translated it. Richly gifted in art, imagination, and skill. You have, if you've been at Baruch Haba any length of period of time at all, you have heard us talk about Proverbs chapter 3. And for those of you that haven't been at Baruch Haba very long, I'll ask you this question. We are told in Scripture that God used certain things to create the universe. In fact, we read it in our liturgy today, believe it or not, in the poem El Adon, God of Eternity. God the Lord, El Adon, that came right after the Baruch Hu, it highlighted it there too. By the way, all our liturgy, it's the Scripture woven into it, though often we have to study it out to find where. What did God use to create the universe besides speaking? We're told that there were certain qualities He used to create the universe. Wisdom. What else? Knowledge. And what else? Understanding. Thank you. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 19 and 20 says, "By chokmah, by wisdom, the Lord laid the earth's foundations. By bina, understanding, he set the heavens in place. By his da'at, knowledge, the deeps were divided and the clouds dropped the dew." What did God use? What qualities did God use to create the universe? Wisdom, understanding, and knowledge. It's interesting that it's those same exact qualities that Bezalel was given to create the Mishkan. It's the same qualities that Hiram was given to create the temple. Chokmah, Bina, and Da'at. Wisdom, understanding, and knowledge. It's really interesting that to think of it then in a connection. What God used to create a home for us, that is, the universe, our earth, we use to create a home for Him. The Mishkan, the temple, the place of worship, the place. What does Mishkan mean? What does the Hebrew word Mishkan mean? It means a dwelling place, from the verb shakan, to dwell, to reside. God created a place for us, so with the same qualities that God used, He endows us with the same skill, the same ability to build a place for Him. By the way, I think that is the reason that the Sabbath keeps getting mentioned in the construction of the tabernacle. In this week's Torah portion, for instance, it begins with a commandment to observe the Sabbath. Last week's Torah portion had a command about the Sabbath. Right there in the middle of the building the tabernacle. Oh yeah, don't forget the Sabbath. Because Sabbath is related to the creation of the universe, I see it mirrored in the same way. Sabbath is God's creation for a picture of rest for us, and the construction of the Mishkan will become the resting place for the Most High. Wisdom, understanding, and knowledge, therefore, are essential elements in our life. Essential elements in our life. Listen to Proverbs chapter 2. Verse 6 says, "For the Lord gives wisdom, and out of His mouth comes knowledge and understanding." Again, the Lord gives wisdom, and from His mouth comes knowledge and understanding. Where do we get the wisdom, understanding, and knowledge that we need in our life? It comes from the Lord Himself. If that wasn't enough, Proverbs chapter 9, verse 10 says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom." Very good. You know this one. "And knowledge of the Holy One is understanding." This is so easy, you could memorize this verse. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of chokmah, and da'at, knowledge of the Holy One, is understanding. There in that verse, once again, you have those three things wrapped up, linked together. There were other people throughout the Tanakh that possessed these qualities. Daniel chapter 1 and chapter 2. If you read them closely, you will find that Daniel was filled with wisdom, understanding, and knowledge. He was in exile. But God poured his spirit out on Daniel. These are essential ingredients in our life. They express the qualities that we need. We need the fear of the Lord so that we can begin in wisdom. And we need the knowledge of the Holy One so we can have understanding. Proverbs 9. I love the way that Rabbi Paul makes this come alive. Listen to Colossians chapter 1. Beginning with verse 9. I'm jumping into the middle of something. You know the way Paul will go on and on and on and on. In fact, it's a tangent, but there is one place in Paul's writings that Paul writes a single sentence that we have translated as an entire chapter. We make many verses out of what he had in one verse. But that's what made Paul such an interesting rabbi. This reminded him of that, which reminded him of, and then he never sometimes made it back to his original point. Enough of that. Colossians 1, for this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you and asking God to fill you. What do you think he's going to say? We have not stopped praying for you and asking God to fill you with the knowledge of His will through all spiritual wisdom and understanding. Paul recognized that we needed in our lives the same thing that Bezalel had, the same thing that Hiram had to create a dwelling place for God, the same wisdom that we needed in our lives as well. I've not stopped praying that you'd be filled with the same thing. By the way, Colossians isn't the only place he does that. I refer you to his prayers in Philippians and Ephesians, where he prays the same thing. It is his practice that as Rabbi Paul prayed for those that were under his tutelage, that they would be filled with what Bezalel was filled with. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. We need these in our lives. My prayer, what I want to not stop praying for you about, is that you would be filled with these same things. It's interesting that since this series I'm doing is actually a series on the Haftorah portions, I want to go back to the Haftorah portion. 1 Kings chapter 7. It's interesting that Hiram was filled with the wisdom, the understanding, the knowledge that richly gifted in art and imagination, as Rabbi Hirsch translated it. It immediately describes him building these pillars made of bronze, decorated with pomegranates and lilies and wreaths, out in front of the temple. And what purpose did they have? They served no architectural purpose. Nothing set on top of them. They were just freestanding, right in front of the temple, right beside the temple doors. We're even told that one was on the north, the same side as the menorah, and one was on the other side, the same side as the table of bread inside the temple. They were simply there to bring honor and glory to the Most High. To bring honor and glory to the Most High. richly gifted in art and imagination. Richly gifted in art and imagination. Pillars, just decorative pillars. If you read the discussion of the Mishkan in the wilderness, you'll find out that there's all kinds of crafts that go into building that. Carving wood, fashioning gold, metal, urgy, craft, you know, bronze. What is bronze? Bronze is a combination of brass and copper. So they had to, there had to be understanding of that. How to embroider. And it just wasn't one kind of thread. There was linen. There was wool of various colors. I've always found it interesting that in one place later in the Torah, God commands Israel in their clothing not to mix wool and linen. That's because God reserved the right for wool and linen. Wool and linen is combined in the fabrics in the tabernacle. God said, this is mine. I reserve the special right to enjoy this. Such amazing artistry. I think it's interesting that even though we're a small congregation, so many of you are possess qualities in this very way. In our small congregation, I have two CDs at home, produced music CDs of original music per congregation. One of our young people just wrote a song last month. One of our college students is majoring in music production. Another one of our college students is majoring in music performance. In fact, she was on the stage at the main theater in downtown Lexington just a few months ago. This morning we heard what I guess was the biggest ensemble Baruch Haba has ever had. There were five people involved in the music ensemble. Wait a minute, I think there might have been a time we had five back when Andrew and Timothy had their violins, and Matt maybe. There's another example, Timothy and Andrew. They're in the Bluegrass Youth Orchestra, and they have been for years. Richly gifted in art and imagination. Some of you are writers. We talked about in our trivia contest that we had, when was that? Was that at Hanukkah? That we had our trivia contest. Peggy Park has not only written several books, Peggy Park is currently has an article for review with a major publication. She in the past has published numerous articles as well as written books. Another person in our congregation told me some time ago that they had a real dream and desire to write children's books. Rod Eisenberg has written extensively, and just this very week told me more plans to do more writings about something that's really pushing on his heart and his mind right now. Writing. How about fine art? Karen has done art, has had art exhibitions, not only in multiple states but in multiple countries. many of you, Gail, Maureen, Debbie, Janine, and Leah, and I hope I'm not missing anybody, all worked with Karen to produce a body of art last year at Purim time. I remember being involved with that. We were here one day working downstairs literally all day till midnight. Janine luckily went home a little earlier. But there were three of us that worked here to midnight on an art project. God has filled you guys, richly gifted you guys in music, in art, in writing. Shimon, Aaron, Nate, in music. Did you know that some of your children are richly blessed in artistic ability? One person's child has a dream of becoming a glassblower in the Seattle tradition. And if you don't know what that means, you don't know anything about glassblowing. That is the mecca of glass art with Chihuly and others. Another person is going to be a concert musician. I'll make a little advertisement. I really encourage you, do not miss Luke Jackson's guitar recital tomorrow afternoon. He's performed for our congregation, done a solo concert for us in the past, and tomorrow afternoon at 3 o'clock. I don't know where his life's going, but he has been richly gifted in art and imagination. There are two of your children that are art professors. And I'm not talking about Karen. Two of your children are art professors in local colleges. One of your children has been a professional actor. Need I go on? Do you realize that even in our small congregation, how richly gifted we are in wisdom, understanding, and knowledge? By the way, Bezalel and Aholiab were also filled with God's Spirit in order to teach. My wife and I were joking this week about that really bad joke that those that can't do something teach. By the way, that's not true. Okay? Teaching was a specific gift that God gave Bezalel and Aholiab. We have numerous teachers in our congregation. Quinn, Corliss, Karen. Teaching is a gift. One of your children teaches gymnastics out in California. Teaching is an amazing gift. Did you know in our congregation we have a best-selling poet? Do you know we have in our congregation someone that owns a publishing company? Richly gifted in imagination, art, and skill. There are just two posts sitting outside of the temple for purely artistic purposes. There's a tradition in some places in Jewish tradition that you were not to make representational art. The command, don't make an image of anything in heaven or on earth. I believe that command is related to idolatry and worship and not art. Otherwise, God himself broke his commandment when he said, well, why don't you make some images of lions on the walls of the temple? Or pomegranates on the hems of the priest's garments. By the way, those little pomegranates, woven pomegranates on the hem of the priest's garment, if you read the text closely, you'll find out that some of them were blue. Have you ever seen a blue pomegranate? Purely representational abstract art. God is into abstract art. Blue pomegranates. I hope I didn't get all these things written down of all the things that you do, and I know I'm missing something. Oh, by the way, one of you are an editor, a copy editor. And I know I'm going to miss other stuff as well. One of you have the... Rod has been a teacher. I forgot that. I'm sorry, Rod.
Kevin taught college.
Kevin taught college. Okay, I didn't know that. I'll stop because I know I'm going to... Oh, we have a master... cabinet maker and person skilled in furniture building and woodworking. And if you haven't seen the pictures yet, you are in for a treat someday. Wisdom, understanding. I was just blown away this week to think, even in our small congregation, how wonderful and good God is. I want to call those gifts out. George Park is a doctor.
Yes.
That is an art. Carney Jackson is a veterinarian pathologist. That's a really wild art. We'll find out why animals die. Some of you are into math and science, which, by the way, is an art form. I came up with this quote this week, and I didn't print it out, and I don't know if I can remember it. Something about music is math, and math is music, but that wasn't the quote. If you study music very long, you'll find out that music is simply applied mathematics, if you study music theory. And mathematics is music of the mind. Mathematics is so interesting. Science and math is art. Every one of you, if you are in relationship with the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, you are filled with God's Spirit. You have residing within you wisdom, understanding, and knowledge. Pursue the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of all of that. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. Paul prayed that the people that learned from him, that includes us, that we would follow in that footstep. He would not stop praying for us that we would be filled with those very things. God used these things to make a home for us. Let's use these to beautify artistically a world for him. Don't leave God homeless. I want to call out these gifts.